Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Beyond the Supernatural RPG to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Beyond the Supernatural 2nd Edition, the first printing from January 2005. Today we're discussing page 181 of Beyond the Supernatural, and I'm going to try to keep it quick today, as painless as I can, because, and I know you're going to hate this, I have constructive criticism today. I know that's not why you come here. You don't want to hear me help. You don't want to hear me offer suggestions, but I have some. Today, I just have some. So we're going to try to get through it as quick as we can. We're in the occupation section. We are still talking about the many and varied occupations that a Beyond the Supernatural character might have as their means of financial support as they embark upon monster hunting on an amateur basis. And today has two occupations worth talking about. The first began yesterday. It is the bounty hunter slash manhunter. We obviously can't leave the occupation section without talking about the bounty hunter, because this occupation is two things I always love to see in a Palladium game. Number one, very 90s. Number two, very player character. There's no need to describe what a bounty hunter slash manhunter is, but you may be interested to learn a bit about how the bounty hunter is implemented in Beyond the Supernatural. They get a nice suite of leather-clad badass skills, automobile or motorcycle, as though it were even a choice, bodybuilding or athletics, boxing or kickboxing. You get your choice of hand-to-hand combat skill, still no assassin or commando, though you can be a martial artist if you want, law, undercover ops, etc., etc. You get some weapon proficiencies, some physical skills, some rogue skills or communications skills, depending on whether you wiretap fugitives or prefer the expedient of beating the shit out of them and making them confess to things they might have said. Overall, a good, solid list, nothing too unexpected. Then when it comes to elective skills, similarly, you get the standard categories plus whatever rogue skills you want, and you get a little bonus on communication skills, rogue skills, and transportation skills. So you're a good driver, good at underworld thief stuff, and there's that communications again. What is it with this communications category, you may ask? Because this seems very narrow. Like, for a game that has a science category that encompasses biology and physics and astronomy, for a game that has a physical category that encompasses martial arts, bodybuilding, running, swimming, collegiate wrestling, etc., don't even get me started on the domestic category, which posits some kind of essential connection between skills like brewing, fishing, gardening, singing, and recycling. It seems, in that context, quite narrow and odd to have a category devoted to communications specifically, but this is a mainstay of Palladium games. Beyond the Supernatural actually treats communication skills a bit differently from other Palladium games, because in previous games we've talked about, communications is all about technology. Using a radio, using scramblers, using a satellite technology, that sort of thing. In Beyond the Supernatural, it has broadened to all forms of communication, so it still has lots of technological skills within it, but it also includes languages, which used to be a technical skill. It also includes things like creative writing. Cryptography is here. Public speaking is in communications. Interestingly, sing is both a domestic skill and a communications skill. But for whatever reason, Palladium refuses to give up on the concept of a communications category, as odd as it has become in this iteration. And not only does it still exist, but for whatever reason, bounty hunters are especially good at it, which leads to a weird situation where, if you're a bounty hunter, you're better than other occupations at things like creative writing, singing, cryptography. But that's all at kind of a right angle to what you really want to be a bounty hunter for, which is to say, for violent player character reasons. And of course, the game recognizes this. Quote, advantages, colon, loves the excitement, enjoys manhunting and brawling, gets to legally carry a concealed weapon, the hours are your own, and work puts you on the streets where you want to be for investigating strange occurrences and the supernatural. It's got everything you want for a player character profession. Dangerous, get to fight people, they let you carry a gun, and you don't have to account for your time. Perfect. This is exactly what we want for our demon fighting lifestyle. Or even if there's no demon around. You know, it's not like player characters stay home and rest and watch Netflix on their days off, on their weekends. Most player characters I've known, upon a lazy Sunday, may wake up late, but then just strap on their concealed firearm, walk out into the mean streets, and look for trouble on a speculative basis. And as long as you save your fisticuffs and firearms for criminals on your days off, I feel like this game supports you 100%. For example, under advantages, it also says, quote, hunting human lowlifes keeps the character sharp for hunting supernatural scumbags. There is no hint of sympathy here for anyone who has jumped bail. As usual with Palladium, this game is staunchly pro-establishment and has the nuanced view of criminal justice that we might normally associate with comic books from the late 1950s. Suffice it to say, Palladium doesn't need orcs. It has criminals. So far, so good, right? The communications thing is weird, but it's a minor oddity in otherwise a very solid occupation that does exactly what it sets out to do. It is an extremely attractive choice for player characters who want to conceal a firearm, ride a motorcycle, and maybe get to put somebody in handcuffs someday. By way of contrast, though, consider the very next occupation, the communications engineer. For this one, I do want to read you the description. Quote, considered a highly skilled position, maybe ex-military, could work for a radio or television station, telephone company, or anyone involved in communications, cable, and similar work. It's that little bit, maybe ex-military. This occupation has just about the occupational skills that you would expect. Notably, it has electrical engineer, which is a hard skill to get. But other than that, you get a very solid computer programming score of plus 20%. Then you get cryptography or laser communications at plus 15%, electronic countermeasures at plus 20%, so you're good at jamming. Then you get technical writing, and you get four communication skills at plus 15%. These are pretty good percentage bonuses. You know, with electrical engineer, you have one useful, relatively exclusive skill. You know, the bounty hunter can't be an electrical engineer, doesn't have access to the electrical category. But other than that, when it comes to the actual communication skills, it's good scores for skills pretty much anybody can get. And in fact, beyond electronic countermeasures, all these skills are only like 5% higher than a bounty hunter would get them. So your communications chops are not necessarily so far beyond a stubbly guy in sunglasses on a motorcycle with a shotgun. However, you've got that potential military background. Quote, if ex-military, at least a 1 to 33% chance, the character also gets hand-to-hand basic, running, weapon proficiency rifle, and two military or espionage skills of plus 10%. Now this is huge because you can neither get espionage nor military skills at all as elective skills unless your occupation gives you specific permission. They're reserved only for military occupations, of which there are none, something we'll address in coming days, and like the espionage agent, right? People who these skills relate directly to their job. Or if you happen to have been in the military in the past, but only two occupations get this option, the communications engineer and a factory worker. Only those two occupations have the option to have a military history that gives them military or espionage skills. Every other occupation, no chance of them having come through the military and gotten important skills that way. Not even occupations like, I don't know, let's just say, for example, the bounty hunter, where not to in any way stereotype or cast aspersions on veterans. Understand my Venn diagram here as I'm saying it. There are lots of perfectly ordinary people who have military service in their background. Given that you are a person who is not only willing but eager to put your life at risk to get to carry a gun and drive cool vehicles, given that you are that person, I feel like the odds that you have at least dallied with the idea of joining the military, those odds are very high. There's only a short list of employers who might give you a rocket launcher someday. If that's your main career goal, you're going to have given all of them a look. But no, the bounty hunter cannot have military skills. Oh, sure, you could put in the backstory that they have a history with the military, but they'll be lacking even the basic training military skills unless you go out of your way to specifically pick them out. And even if you do that, you won't be able to get any military specific skills, which include such player character favorites as combat helicopters, APCs and tanks, demolitions, the often forgotten but equally important demolitions disposal, armorer slash field armorer. These are all great skills that you can only get from military service, and the bounty hunter simply can't have them, no matter what you write as fluff in their backstory. If you want to have one of those skills, for example, if it's important to you, you know, whatever else happens in this campaign, I someday want to run over a demon with a tank. So I have to be able to drive that tank. If that's where you're at, you have to make a very specific occupational choice. And if that occupational choice were tank pilot, then I would be okay with it. But that very specific occupational choice is, I must either work at the cannery or at the cable company in order to drive a tank. That is the dumbest thing on this page. In fact, it's very likely that getting certain military skills, like demolitions, like APC and tanks, like combat helicopters, those are probably overwhelmingly the reason that someone would take a communications engineer. Because as we've just said, if all you're going to do is take a bunch of boring communication skills, you know, if you just really want to operate radio systems, set up surveillance cameras, do code breaking, even a bounty hunter is almost as good at any of those things as a communications engineer. You don't play somebody who works at the cable company because you want to fix cable. Unless you are an exceptionally petty player, you don't even do it because you want to steal cable. You do it because it is your only inroad into being a guy who works at the cable company, but despite his mild-mannered veneer, used to drive a tank, so you can lay up that little bit of backstory for the inevitable day when the GM lets your dirty little fingers get too close to a tank and you can go to fucking town on your city's demon population. Or you can set a bunch of tricky time bombs and blow the shit out of the hordes of hell as they try to invade, and finally show that stubbly bounty hunter who's the real badass in this group. Because he can't get demolitions. It almost makes you sad, doesn't it? You know that's a failure of system mastery. Because if you're playing a character who rides a motorcycle and wears sunglasses but also has like a taser, you're going to want to make a bomb from time to time. But you just can't do it. Who would have thought? It's the cable guy. The cable guy is the only way to get there. The cable guy is one of only two very unintuitive ways to get there. Here's where the constructive criticism comes in. And this is something that I've kicked around in the past. Some other people that I've talked to on Twitter have picked up on it. Brian Beyer, frequent Twitter correspondent with the show, at LaserStarDragon, has mentioned this. Palladium character creation really wants to be a life path system, but it's not quite there, and sometimes that's very frustrating. Each game gets close in its way, but it's never quite. Like in Ninjas and Super Spies, it's very nice that you get these different skill packages that can represent different phases in your life. Similarly, the OCCs in that game really tie in your skill selection to where you've been and what you've done. So if you've been in a monastery all your life, you get very few skill selections, and you might get a few individual skills from your martial art form. Whereas if you have a very high degree of formal education, you're going to have a lot more skill packages to choose from, and sometimes that's going to be tied to a history of military service or service in an espionage agency. But the actual selection of programs is still pretty much wide open, which kind of defeats the life path aspect of it in most cases. Now here in Beyond the Supernatural, once again, we've got these occupations, or we've got these different levels of occupational skills, elective skills, secondary skills, and it seems like it's starting to line up into something like a life path system, where you're distinguishing the skills you got from your job versus the skills you got from formal education versus the skills you picked up on the side. But to make a life path work, there has to be more than one point on the path. You know what I mean? Like, the system is a guided tour through your personal history with exactly one stop on whatever job you're doing right now. And everything before and everything after that and everything to the side of that is kind of irrelevant to your skill selection. And it doesn't have to be. That's what's so frustrating. This ex-military thing, where you get like three particular skills to represent basic training, plus a small selection of military or espionage skills, depending on your specialization during your military service, and that's like added on to your job skills, there's absolutely no reason this couldn't be available to everyone. We're going to revisit this again on a future page, but suffice it to say for now, this is my constructive criticism. We are so close with some of these occupations to a life path system. I mean, this is a life path rule, right? This is, there is an X percent chance, or you can just choose this option, that you were in the military before you were a communications engineer, therefore your skills are different. This is like a little mini life path system, but it's just like a little vestigial nub of what could have been. And it's very frustrating, especially given that the result is the system is cock-blocking the player who wants to be a badass bounty hunter who can set up and then ride away from explosions on their motorcycle. There's no earthly reason that character should not be able to have a backstory where they were in the military but then washed out, but still has like a small selection of military skills that they're now using in a freelance capacity to hunt down fugitives. That's perfectly reasonable, totally in genre, but sadly impossible, because somehow the author got it into his head that in the dark and bonkers world of Beyond the Supernatural, only communications engineers and factory workers shall ever be veterans. And so, it is with a rueful tear, for all the homemade bombs that might have been, that we move on from page 181, sadder but wiser, knowing that if you want to play a mad bomber, you've got to create a character with a boring job at the telephone company or whatever. And now it's time to move on. Join me next time when the premise of the occupation system breaks down beyond all hope of constructive criticism, no doubt to your great relief, on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the top-secret Patreon-only RSS feed. If you'd like to get access to that RSS feed and support the show, go to patreon.com/megadumbcast. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. I am Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Beyond the Supernatural, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Zambita. This season's theme song is Horizon Ending by Soft and Furious, whose work you can find at loyaltyfreakmusic.com. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.